All right, good morning, and if you have your Bibles, let's return to the book of Colossians, and it may seem as though I'm taking my sweet time to finish the book, but there's a lot in this book, and it's a short epistle, but there's a massive treasure of truth in this book, and we have gone from chapter 1 to chapter 4 through a vast portion of the Word of God while studying the book of Colossians. And it's an incredible thing in the way that works. But there's not just this major portion of truth contained only in one place in the Bible, or this major portion of truth contained only in that place in the Bible. We use the Word of God in a manner that's described in the Word of God, here a little and there a little, and we put the Word of God together to create a congruency, because there's one congruency in the Word of God. It's the redemptive purpose of God for mankind. And we were created as a people for His name's sake, that He may have eternal fellowship with us. And so through the plan of salvation, which is cover to cover, we have the plan of God, or we have the purpose of God given to us, and we have our purpose under God. And so that takes place from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And so just because we spend a whole long time in Colossians or in Acts or Matthews or wherever, we're getting a good representation of the Scriptures every time we do that. That's the wonderful part about the type of preaching that we do here at Grace Baptist Church. And so we have here in chapter 4, we kind of went into depth in depth into verse 1 and 2 and beginning of 3 last week, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3 again here. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And of course, you know, we all are under the rule of our Lord, and we're not abiding because of ourself and in and of ourself. We abide because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have life in Him. And like we were talking about last week, you know, you and I, as sinners from our mother's womb, sinners in Adam, or from Adam, who was our federal head that plunged us into sin, we're saved by the grace of God through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so in that, we are explained in the Scriptures that we were purchased, quite literally, off the slave block of sin. Okay, and so we are indentured servants or slaves to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would rather not have any other master. He's a good slave master, and so he takes care of his children. Now we are known as, you know, as servants or slaves, not in a negative sense, but a positive sense, because we're slaving or serving for the purpose of the salvation of souls. And that is our purpose as well here, as long as we're still in these sin-wrecked bodies upon this earth. We have to understand that. You know, I talk about it all the time. The world tends to want to purpose itself in self. Or I am a ward of myself, you know, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And really, in that, you're a child of wrath. But we are not children of wrath. We're children of the King. And so we, as believers in Jesus Christ, have been given a commission in the church to go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. That's our purpose. And so when we get our really spiritual minds wrapped around that, then we have an understanding for why we are here. Okay? And if it were not for that purpose, we'd already be caught up into the presence of the Lord. And so to think of yourselves as you are a commander of your own destiny in your own life, it's not true. Yes, you can do whatever you want during the day, okay? But, you know, the Lord has a way of, if we're no earthly good, sometimes He doesn't keep us here on the earth any longer. He takes us home, okay? And so, and that's not meant to be a threat in any way, shape, or form. But we have a purpose to fulfill here, and the Lord's given us gifts to be used in the body of Christ for the preaching of the Word of God. I'm exercising mine right now. And if I just didn't my whole life and went about my life completely ignoring the things of the Lord and the purpose that He gave me in the body of Christ, the Lord would likely just find a means by which to just call me home. You know, that's because if I'm not doing Him any good here, my long home is in His presence, well, why shouldn't I be there? You know? And so, you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, you know, this is part of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we are to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And, you know, like Pastor Andre says, it can become a habit to come to church, and it can become a habit not to come to church. But the more, like, I'm always reinforcing this because I have personal experience in this. You know, when I was younger in the Lord, and salvation hit me really hard, and I loved every minute, every moment of it, every word. I was constantly listening to the Word of God, whether it be here or on the tapes, because that was back when we had tapes and not CDs. Well, we may have started the CD ministry back then, but I believe in my truck I only had a tape player, a cassette deck player. Cassette deck. Is that what they called them? Yeah, that's what they called them. It's been a while, okay? So I would listen to Brother Stewart's old tapes in my truck all the time when I was driving. I'd listen to them at home. I just couldn't get enough. And then, you know, because I was 21, and by the time I turned in 22, your friends, and you got the nightlife and all this kind of stuff, that led me away for a while. And my attendance was sporadic for about 6 months to a year. And I don't think it was quite a year, but eventually I realized, what am I doing? And, you know, all of our worldly lusts, whether it be nightlife, vacations, monetary increase.
Lust of the eyes.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. And what, in reality, if we belong to the Lord and we're here for His purpose and our long home is in the presence of God and not here in these sin-wrecked bodies, what is the end of all those things? Well, nothing. All those things are going to be burned up, you know. And so if we start thinking more according to thus saith the Lord, and as I mentioned, the way by which you start thinking more according to thus saith the Lord is get more of the Word of God in your ears. And the more the Word of God is in your ears, you would be surprised the level of peace that comes about in your life the more you know about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what it says in this book. You know, and, you know, over the years, I didn't really understand it until recently, really. I was listening to a message Brother Stewart preached years ago in my cassette deck in my truck. And Brother Stewart had obviously indicated, pointing at Pastor Andre, this man walks and talks with the Lord. I walk and talk with the Lord. You know, and what he was referring to, and it sounded a little, at first, a little self-righteous. But then after he preached about it for a little bit, I realized what he was saying. The more you think according to thus saith the Lord, the more you realize the presence of the Lord walking and talking with you every moment of your life. Now, that might sound cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs to a lot of people. It might sound cuckoo for some people who are babes in Christ. But literally, when you take events in your life and events in the Word of God and your ministry, whatever it may be, because we all have a ministry in the body, and you have a lot of the Word of God in you, and events take place, and things are said, and the answers come to you. And I'm probably explaining this poorly. The answers come to you in your mind out of the Word of God that you know. That's probably a bad way of putting it. But when I experience things, and things come my way, I've been in the Word of God long enough, and I'm not saying that I'm any better than you are. I've just been studying the Word of God for a few years, and when certain events start taking place in your life, and sometimes they're really bad, it's the Word of God that comes upon you that strengthens you. And so it takes the harshness and the evil of those events and just turns the volume down, because you know the Lord has the preeminence. And so, you know, we're not to walk in this world in fear. We're to walk in this world in strength, because we're kept by the power of God. And there's not going to be anything, just like he told the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul was concerned about going into Athens, he said, go forth into Athens, or maybe in Corinth. I can't remember exactly where it was. It was I think it was Corinth. I'll look back and see and tell you in a later message. But he said, go forth and fear not. No one will touch you. I have many people in this city, you know, or many souls that are going to be saved by the preaching of the word of God that Paul was going to initiate. And so was the Lord sending him in under the power of Paul? Or was he sending him in under the power of his own strength, God himself? They went forth with the power of God. God is omniscient. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's the creator of everything. He is the governor of everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing that is beyond the strength of the Lord. So when the Lord says go in with his strength, what are we going in with? All the power in the universe. And this might sound crazy, like I'm Superman or something, but if you're going to put a cape on anybody, it should be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the real Superman. He's God. Okay? And so we are not to fear, and we're not to fear what happens to our body. We're not to fear what happens in our lives. We're not to fear what happens in the church. We're to be faithful to what's been committed to our trust and go forward in thanksgiving, which is the motivation for our service in the Lord. And the Lord will take care of the rest, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual, and that's the truth of the matter. You can take that to the bank. But if you don't know a lot about the Word of God and you're operating according to what you know naturally, the ways of the world, you're going to find yourself in a whole lot of hurt when the troubles of life come along, you know. And so, you know, we all have masters, and, you know, Paul's admonishing the Colossians here and telling them, you know, if you're going to operate in this world, operate fairly. We're not under law, but we have a master in heaven, and we ought to be good servants and good stewards. And so he says in verse 2, he says, continue in prayer. And last week we were reviewing what prayer really was. And prayer, although it seems like prayer is our petition to God, I mean, and it is, but really prayer is not all, like we've talked about this clearly last week. Braces. we talked about this clearly last week. And prayer is not so much about aligning God with your will, it's more about aligning you with the will of God. Because where do we find our answers to prayer, really? In the Word of God, okay? And so, you know, people have silly prayers, and it's, you know, I wish I had more money. I'm broke, okay? It's a common prayer, isn't it? That's probably the most common prayer there is. Oh, I'm destitute. I need stuff, God. Give me stuff, you know? Well, what if God wants you to have, what if God wants you to be destitute to bring about a change in mind in your life? What if that's what it takes? What if what it takes for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior is the death of your spouse? Do you see what I'm saying? These things can be completely negative, horrible things to the natural mind. But what has God promised us? God works out all things together for good. Not necessarily our good, but his good. And what is his good in the world? Well, Jesus Christ is his good. And Jesus Christ is the power of salvation. And so, can the death of a family member or destitution or things like this be worked out to be a positive thing, spiritually speaking? Absolutely it can. And so, you know, some of the most important lessons the Lord has ever taught me has been through incredibly negative experiences in my life. You know, in a secular sense, you know. And that's how the Lord works. Because, you know, we're not appointed unto wrath, so to speak, when we, you know, we're not destined for hell. But sometimes life can seem like it's hell on earth. But the Lord brings us through by the truth of the Word of God and the power of God. And so, it says here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open us a door of utterance. Now, it requires a door of utterance to witness the truth of the Word of God. I have tried and failed in the past many times to pry that door open. When I was first saved, all I wanted, and I'm talking all I wanted, was I had this burning desire for everyone I knew to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, because it hit me so hard. I mean, for some people, when you're saved, it's like my grandmother explained, you know, when she believed, and she said, you know, I just kind of well, that made sense, and yeah, I believe that. But for me, I was so wrapped up in what do I do with my life prior to that. When the Lord finally showed me what my life was all about, which was nothing, it was all about His life, it just blew me, knocked my socks off. I felt like I got hit with 440 and just my feet were on the ground and I was 20 feet behind me, you know, behind my shoes. You know, 440 being electricity. Okay. And it just shocked me to the core. And I all I wanted to do was talk about it. And so this sounds really dumb, but I did it. My brothers for years didn't drive. I think Jason drives now. Mark still doesn't. So they'd ask me for rides here and there, and I'd give them rides. And I'd go the long way while putting a tape in the cassette deck in the truck just to get them to hear the Word of God. And they hated it. I could tell they hated it. Like, well, isn't that a quicker way to go? I'm like, yeah, but, you know, listen to this real quick, you know. I was prying the door open. And you can seal the door shut by trying to pry it open. Okay? I wish we could tie someone down and put a funnel in their mouth or in their ear or whatever and pour the Word of God in and poof, presto, they're a believer in Jesus Christ, but that's not how it works. You know? Sometimes if you're witnessing to people, don't worry about how it comes out. You might think, oh, that wasn't very clear. That's not as clear as Pastor Andre would say, or not as clear as Pastor Griffin would say, or whatever. Or not as clear as Paul had written in his epistles. It doesn't matter. If the Word of God is present, the Lord can use it. Okay? And so, but don't pry the door open. If somebody doesn't want to talk about the truth, shut up. Flat out. You'll know when it's open. And so I'll have a lot of instances where the things of the Lord will come up in my life. And whether you know it or not, you probably do too. We don't always walk through the door when it's open, though. And so the way I am, you can't get me to stop talking. So if it's open, I'm going to walk through it. And so, you know, when the topic of Scripture comes up or the topic of church, you know, answer questions or present to them a testimony of some sort if they're willing. You can take it too far. Somebody can say, oh, what church do you go to? And you can say, oh, Grace Baptist Church. Yeah, it's a little church, a fundamental little church. And then you can go on a 30-minute deposition about what we preach here, you know, but they probably don't want to hear that. But so don't give too much. But if they want to hear it, keep talking about it. And if you don't know how to say it, just give your own personal experience. Well, I'm a sinner, and you know, I was told and through preaching that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And if that's all you know, that's all that it took for the blind man to be saved when he went and washed at the pool of Siloam after the Lord put spittle and mud on his eyes. That's what it represented. It doesn't take much faith to be a believer in Jesus Christ. How much faith did it take when Moses fashioned that serpent of brass in the wilderness after they rejected the manna? How much faith did it take to save their bodies after being bitten by those poisonous snakes when they were told to look at that serpent of brass on a pole? Just to look. All they had to do was turn their head and look. Moses said, look at it and you're going to live. And those that thought it was BS, they just walked away and they died. But those that looked, they lived. Now, is it difficult for us to turn our necks? No. That's about the least amount of effort that you can possibly put out to do anything with your body. Now, in that same sense, that was a type of salvation. If the simple gospel is given, Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, He was buried, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was shed for you and cleanses you from all sin. Do you believe this to be true for you? And, you know, this is what we say prior to a baptism, to confirm their faith. And they say, yes. Well, that's a heck of a lot less than is in this entire book, but that's all that it takes to believe. But you have to remember this too. It's not you that does the saving. It's not the way you said it that does the saving. You can plant, but God gives the increase. And so He's able to give the increase. Imagine you are a, well, they used to call them, let's say you have some kind of mental impairment. Okay, let's say you're just real, real slow. or real dumb or whatever. Can a fool trust Christ as their Savior? Absolutely. In fact, we're supposed to preach the Word of God in a manner by which a fool or a child will not err therein. Pretty simple. So you don't have to be a biblical theologian to witness the truth of the Word of God to someone. But by all means, if the door is not open, do not go through. You'll find yourself with failure. And, you know, if you do witness the truth to someone and they reject it, and you witness again and they reject it, your job's done. After the second admonition, you can reject them as a heretic. Okay? And so, that doesn't mean that they are a heretic. That means they're not going to trust Christ as their Savior then. They may not ever. But at some point in time, the words you spoke may couple up with the words someone else speaks at some point in time, and the Lord may, you know, drive the, you know, I should say save their soul at that point in time, but it may not be in front of you. And so, you know, we're not here to put notches in our shillelagh. That was a club the Irishmen used in war, you know, or our pistol grip or anything like that. You know, we're not, I'm not tallying how many people have been saved under my ministry. So far as I know, I cannot confirm or deny that anybody's been saved under my personal ministry. Should I feel like a failure for that? No. I'm doing what the Lord called me to do. And so I think there has been at least one that I may know of, but does that mean anything to me? No, because I didn't do it. It's just an event that took place under my ministry. Am I happy for it? Is it a massive honor to be given this gift? Yeah, it sure is. But I'm sure not going to get big-headed about it because I have nothing to do with the outcome. Okay? So, you know, waiting for a door of utterance is important. And we ought to pray for that our ministers might have a door of utterance and have success in the ministry. Because it's not my success. It's really the Lord's success. And so that's a prayer that believers ought to pray. And so he says here, with all praying for also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak. Now, this sounds kind of silly. To speak the mystery of Christ. So the door of utterance is going to be open, and we're going to say a mystery to the people. Well, let me explain that a little bit. Actually, turn with me to, I think it's Matthew chapter 12. Let me see here. It might be 13. This is not exactly according to plan, so give me a second to find it. Yeah, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ giving the disciples the parable of the sower. And so here we have the parable of the sower, and it says in verse 1. Now, you got to remember, our Lord spoke, and he's going to explain it here. Our Lord spoke to the disciples to the people in parables. And he would say this, he who has an ear, listen to what the Word of God says. Well, I'm going to read it here. If I misquote the verse once, I'm going to misquote the whole thing. Let's just read it and we'll get to it. Let's see here. Verse 1. The same day went Jesus out. Now, this is a little bit of typology here in the first verse. The same day Jesus went out of the house. Now, to what house did he come into in his first Advent ministry? The nation of Israel, right? Okay, the house of the Jews, or the house of Israel. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, what does the sea represent in Scripture? The Gentile nations of the earth, okay? And so we're speaking now of the Gentile church age. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that when he went into a ship, and so what do we have here in the church? A fellowship, okay? And sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, or mysteries, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, in this parable, the Lord is the sower, okay? God. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. Now, the wayside is like a my middle school. I'll put it this way: like a stony path. My middle school had very finely. It wasn't like 3/4 minus. It was even finer than that. A real fine gravel track. So when we ran track, we ran around this gravel track, and it was, you know, trodden by feet all the time with kids at recess and, you know, the track team running on it. And so it was very hard, very firm. All right, and every now and then you'd have a weed in the soil there, and it'd just be this real tiny weed. There was nothing hardly there for a seed to grab onto to germinate. Okay, and so any seed that fell there, it would be easy pickings for the birds. Okay, and so it's real hard ground that there's no penetration into the ground, so the seed can't germinate. And so with the seeds and the plants here, and the types of soil we're dealing with, if there's germination, if there's life with the plant, we have a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. But with the parable of the sower, we're talking about the types of ground the seed falls on. Okay, the seed being the Word of God. Now let's go forth. And so he says, and this is verse 4, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air, or the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them up. All right, so this is the Word of God goes forth, and it falls on deaf ears because the way of the world just causes the Word to be rejected. Or in this instance, the birds, or the devil, comes and eats the seed up before it can germinate, before there's any life. All right, so it didn't stick. Okay, verse 5, some fell upon stony places or stony ground, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. And so in stony ground, or ground that's got soil and stones, if there's soil there, the seed can germinate, right? But it's not robust, arable soil. And so you've got life there. There's a plant or a believer in Jesus Christ, but there's so many stones in the ground that plant can't really flourish, okay? Or those stones being, you know, the other cares that we have out in the world, our jobs, our hobbies, our camping, our fishing, all that kind of stuff that gets in the way. Because how does a believer in Jesus Christ flourish? Well, just like we talked about at the first part of this message, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How does that happen? By hearing the Word of God being preached, okay? And so some fell on stony ground, and it says in verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And so when the world beats down on us, we don't fall back on the Lord for our strength. We fall back on what we know naturally because we haven't been built up in the things of the Lord enough yet. Now, the stones can be removed from the ground. It's like in Ireland and England, in the UK. You see a lot of stone fences that kind of are the borders of the farms. Where do you suppose all those stones came from? The ground. So in order to farm the soil, they had to dig up all the stones. Do you suppose that wasn't back-breaking labor? It probably was. And they built a fence out of it. So the stones can be dug up, and we can focus our priorities more on the things of the Lord and less on the things of our life. And then we can grow, and our roots can go down further in the Word of God, and we can gain of the nutrients. And, you know, who is the root spoken of in Scripture? The root's Jesus Christ. And so the plant gains its sustenance, or its roots, or its strength, its knowledge of the Scriptures through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God pertaining to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says in verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. These are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, so well, you can. You know, we have the same scene, and if you haven't seen a briar, we don't have a whole lot of briars around here. We had one in the backyard of a rental I had one time, when it was just the whole thing was full of blackberries. I had to cut that down once. That was fun. But if you have a little plant under the briar, it's not going to get a whole lot of sun to it. You know, so if you were in middle school biology, let's see, what do they call it? When the plant photosynthesis. Okay, a plant processes the energy from the sun and uses it somehow, turns it into other plant material. I can't remember exactly how the process of photosynthesis works. It's been a few years. But if there's no sunlight hitting it, it's not going to grow. It's not going to be robust. We see the same in our woods. If you go out in the woods and you've got a real nice Doug fir canopy, and the trees have nice tops on it. You know, it pretty much covers the view of the sky, and the little trees underneath it are always stunted and kind of withered and look a little bit pathetic because they're not getting a lot of sun. Okay? And so it's similar to the stony ground. And it says in verse 8, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And so we have faithful believers, and there's such thing as believers that are faithful, and there's such thing as believers that are unfaithful. Some believers are more faithful than others. And so we have a higher yield with the more faith. So they avail themselves of the Word of God, they're studying. They're going through those doors when they're open to them and uttering the word of God to others that they might be saved. They're active in their faith. Now, does this make them any better than others? No. God's not a respecter of persons. But if we grow and we are robustly taught in the things of the Lord and think more according to thus saith the Lord, the Lord's able to use that individual to bring more fruit unto the gospel. Okay, so they bear more fruit. And so, you know, just like a plant in your garden, if it's got nice, rich soil, there's no other plants around it, it's getting plenty of sun, it's propped up well, you know, you're going to have a good yield of fruit from those plants. All right, the same goes with a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, and this is why I came here, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned or they're spiritually understood. And the natural man is spiritually dead. Okay? So the ears that he's talking about here are spiritual ears. And we talk about this all the time. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, okay, you gained spiritual life at that moment in time. Prior to your salvation, you were spiritually dead. You were not in a spiritual communion with God. So once you gained spiritual life, or the Lord blessed spiritual life to you again, you were born again. Because remember, your spiritual life died in Adam. Okay? And you had to be brought back to spiritual life the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so at that moment in time, God himself entered you. Remember the promise that we read over in the 14th chapter of the book of John, where I will be in you, never leave you nor forsake you. So his spirit then bears witness with your spirit that you belong to who? To him, to God. Now how do you know that? Through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God that's being preached and blesses it to your heart and mind that you might believe. It's not a natural occurrence that you did yourself. It's a blessing of the Spirit of God and from the Spirit of God only. Okay? So once you have spiritual life, you now possess ears to hear. Because if you think about it, go listen to a bunch of other preaching out there on the internet. 99% of the time, you're going to find just the outward meaning of the scriptures. And 99% of the time, it's always, oh, we have to be better people. Because look, God's telling us we have to be good. Look what he did in his first advent. He said, keep the law. But everything else in the Bible is written about how the law could never save a soul because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. They disregard because they don't understand it because they don't have ears to hear. They don't have spiritual life. And so all they can glean as natural men is what they know naturally, and what they know naturally came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was planted by the devil, and the devil said you can be like God by what you do. So that's what man knows naturally. And so he's going to apply that natural knowledge to the scriptures, and it doesn't fit because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death and was our righteousness for us and then died according to the scriptures on the cross of Calvary that we might be made like him through faith. Okay? That's what the scriptures declare. That's what the gospel is. That's what the good news is. But it's invisible to the natural mind. So this is why when you tell the Word of God to someone, I've had these conversations point blank clear with some of my friends. God is not here to tell us what we do. It's very obvious we're sinners. Jesus Christ died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And like the scripture says, his blood cleanses us from all sin so that when we stand before God, we're standing in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and we're accepted based upon him and not based upon what we've done. And then I'll get statements back. Yep, I know. That's why we got to be good. Which has nothing to do with what I just said. So the spiritual truths that I told them just went right over their head because they don't have ears to hear. They're not spiritually alive. You say, that sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus, Pastor Griffin. Nope, that's how it works. Because all things have to be of him, to him, and through him. And we read that here. So he says, where were we? Matthew 13. There we go. Okay. I have so many notes around it, I can hardly see it. So he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables or in mysteries? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the believers, disciples, to know the mysteries. Why are they mysteries? Because they're mysterious to the unregenerate mind or the spiritually dead mind of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them it is not given because they haven't come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior yet. For whosoever hath, and you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, we have. Okay? What is wisdom? It speaks of salvation. So we have wisdom. We have the knowledge of the truth. We possess it. It's been given to us as it's the first gift God gave us, the gift of faith, to understand that Jesus Christ is our, really our life and our salvation. Okay? And so, for whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, our heavenly inheritance, okay? Not carnal abundance, or material abundance that we're talking about here. Some have more than others. That's not what we're talking about, though. Our abundance that we have is our heavenly inheritance. It's our hope. Okay? But whosoever hath not, and in this instance he's talking about unsaved Jews, but really the unsaved of the world as well, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And so what does the unsaved man think that he has? He thinks he has acceptance based upon the life that he lives. That's what the Jews thought. That if they do good, they're going to get good. We be Abraham's seed. That's got to stand for something, right, God? Well, that's what they thought they had. They thought they had the praise of God and the peace of God, but they had it not. All that the Lord our God has spoken, we will do. That was a provocation to God. Okay? And so, if they're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and they're going to say, Lord, we have it all. We're your people. Hi, God. Here we are. And he's going to say, you did nothing they told you to do. You didn't believe upon the Messiah when I sent him to you. And they're going to be like, oh God, your Lord, your Savior. And he's going to say, depart from me, you that work the iniquity. The iniquity is the lawlessness that came into the world because of Adam from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's really the lie of the devil. Depart from me, ye that work the iniquity, for I never knew you. And they'll be cast into hell. And so he says, whosoever hath not, or the unsaved of the world, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, spiritually speaking, and hearing they hear not, spiritually speaking, neither do they understand. And so you see that when we talk to our friends, and then they make some statement that's completely contradictory to what you just told them about the gospel. They don't have an understanding of the truth. But that's how we witness. That's how we give forth the truth, that the word might be empowered by the Spirit of God at some point in time and be blessed to their heart and mind that they might believe. So don't give up, you know. Now, if somebody tells you, gives you the, tells you to go to hell for what you said, let them be. Because if they want you to go to hell, they might find themselves in hell. You know? You can't pound it into them. And that's the biggest mistake I made early in my salvation. I thought you could pound into people the truth, but it actually was contradictory to my purpose rather than helpful to my purpose. Okay? And so, he says in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Because the hearing and the seeing is being done with a spiritually dead mind. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Their eyes were so closed when the Messiah came to them and promised them life, they said, crucify him, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. And that's really what the rest of the world says when they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior when he's presented to them. They say, I can do it myself. And that's exactly what the nation of Israel thought as well. The rest of the world would say, crucify him too. So they said, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted or saved, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. These are people who have been indwelled by the Spirit of God, who have a reborn spirit of their own, who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, in the eyes of other men, have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And I started a little bit early, so we've got a minute or two here. When anyone heard the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart, the word of God. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So in this instance, this person is not going to be saved. But he that received the seed under the stony places, and the same it is that heareth the word, and with anon, or instantly, the joy, with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not rooted himself, remember the stony ground and the thorny ground, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, if you think about it, we look at Peter. Wasn't Peter offended by the truth pretty much immediately? You know, Peter had to dig some stones out of his life as well. This is why Peter's a perfect example of everybody else. We all have a little Peter in us, you know. You can't knock the guy, you know. I figured you'd like that one. Sinners saved by grace in this room, I'll tell you that. All right. So, yeah, you know, we all have Peter in us. He was the disciple that was used to give an example of what we all are, you know. And so, and he that, this is verse 22, and he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Oh, I can't go to church. I got to make money. I can't do this. I got to make money. I can't do that. I got this thing. I got that thing. I got everything. Everything's more important than going to church and growing in the things of the Lord, you know. But what are we here for? It's part of getting your spiritual head screwed on straight. Are we here for the Lord or are we here for ourselves? Well, everything that we're here for in ourselves is going to be burned up after we pass through the veil of death. Eventually, this creation will be fully burned up and a new creation will take its place. And so what good is it? What eternal goodness does everything that we have in life hold? Well, we're supposed to tarry until the Lord comes, so we need things. But should that be our primary focus? Absolutely not. And so, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, so he has salvation, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. And so next week, I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll tie that into Matthew chapter 13 here. We're out of time. And then I'm going to look at Colossians chapter 1 and a little bit into chapter 2 again. Then we'll go back to the back end of Colossians. And maybe not next week, but week after next, we'll finish up Colossians. And I think I'm going to preach 1 Thessalonians next. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the glorious gospel that we have before us, how that the world tends to think of it as we have to somehow emulate God and be like God, which is a lie of the devil. It came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was put into man through the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by Adam. But the gospel message has pulled us out of that state, in that Jesus Christ stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death. And a look of faith to him shall save the sinner. And make him accepted in the beloved. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.